What's up, everybody? This is Fred Ricciani of TSC News here to quickly recap WWE Friday Night SmackDown for May 12th, 2016. We got just a couple weeks before WWE Extreme Rules taking place in my neck of the woods in New Jersey. However, I don't think I'm going to be in attendance. I got a lot going on. It's around the time of my sister's birthday. I think I'm going to be chilling with some fam, but we got you covered for Extreme Rules, so have no fear. We'll be doing a live recap immediately following the main event, which is AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. So immediately following the main event, we'll be doing a recap right here on YouTube.com/TheSportsQuarry. You can also check it out on SoundCloud.com/TSCNews and iTunes. And just a quick programming note, we will be doing reviews of all the past Extreme Rules events, which I think there's about like 6 or 7. So we'll be taking a nice little trip down memory lane, although there are a couple of really bad notable Extreme Rules matches, but we'll get to that a little later on. Now on to SmackDown. SmackDown featured the official in-ring debut of Dana Brooke against Becky Lynch, and I gotta say, the match wasn't pretty. The women are pretty. The match wasn't pretty. Dana got the win with some tomfoolery with the help of Emma. And this feud will continue. Now, who will Becky bring up to help her out against Emma and the evil Dana? Chances are it's probably going to be Sasha Banks, because ever since WrestleMania and that star-making performance, she's kind of just hung around. Been backstage, done some stuff on social media, barely been used. I get the fact that they probably were thinking about giving her the title at WrestleMania and said, you know what, let's give it to Charlotte for now. And let's hold off till a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam. I get that. I really do. However, why not keep Sasha on TV? Why not keep Sasha in the public eye? Why not have Sasha have feuds, kind of like what Becky Lynch is having right now, with other women in between challenging for the championship? And if you want to make this women's division mean something, you don't just have one program. You have multiple programs. And to be fair, they're doing the thing with Emma and Becky, and they're doing the thing with Charlotte and Natty, so there's that, but they could do better. They got a lot of women on the roster, a lot of women in NXT they're barely using. How would it even make sense at this point? Originally I was opposed to this, but you could technically do a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship eventually. I mean, they have enough women on the roster, and a lot of the women in NXT rapidly improve over the course of their time training there in the Performance Center compared to the men, which is crazy to think about, just looking back at a few years ago, the state of WWE women's wrestling and the state of it right now. I mean, the future is pretty bright, so props to Triple H for that, and props to Norman Smiley, Robbie Brookside, all those trainers down there in Orlando. But anyway, so Dana got the win. She didn't look great tonight. A lot of people are hating on my timeline. Why is Dana Brooke called up? She sucks, blah, blah, blah. First off, Dana Brooke paid her dues. She's been in NXT for like 3 years. She works really hard. She's not bad at all in the ring for her experience level. Not the best match tonight, but hey, she's been out for a while. She's a little rusty. She did apparently get some surgery to enhance certain aspects of her body, which nothing wrong with that. I don't know if that's the only reason she's been out. I don't know if she was injured at all, but hey, Dana Brooke is a solid performer given her experience level. Just cut her a little bit of slack, okay? Give her a chance. I'm telling you, she's not like one of those people that just got signed off the street and didn't train and was thrown in. No, this chick has worked hard the last few years, and she definitely belongs on the main roster. She's got a good personality, good look, and everything. Would I love to see Bayley on the main roster? Yes. Is it fair that Bayley is not on the main roster and Dana Brooke is? No, but, you know, life's not fair. I mean, why is Finn Bálor not on the main roster? Why was Braun Strowman called up? Braun Strowman called up! With like 10 matches under his belt, God knows how many. But Finn Bálor wasn't. Makes no sense. But don't blame Dana for that. That's a decision from Vince and Triple H and Kevin Dunn, the powers that be. Right? That's not Dana's decision. So please, don't hate on Dana. Ugh. We had the continuation of this riveting vaudevillians, or is it vaudevillains, or vaudevillagers, whatever. Vaudevillains feud with the New Day. And man, I like the vaudevillains in NXT, but I think actually they're better babyfaces than they are heels. I mean, they're solid performers and everything, but the crowd just doesn't care for them. Also, the thing is, they just debuted out of nowhere. We saw a bumper, the night after WrestleMania, vaudevillains are debuting. Okay? No video packages explaining who they are. No highlights of their matches. No highlights of them winning the NXT tag titles. No, nothing. Just, yeah, the vaudevillains. And the act itself is kind of weak. It's really one-dimensional. I think even though they are challenging for the tag titles, they might have a good match for the New Day that really already they're probably on their last legs of relevancy, which I guess probably extends their record of relevancy compared to the Ascension, who were relevant for maybe like a month and a half. I would like to see Aiden English sing again. Maybe, just maybe. I don't know if Simon Gotch could sing, but Aiden English can sing. If he could do the whole singing gimmick, perhaps they could be saved. Perhaps they could be a decent comedy duo, but I really don't see much in the future of the vaudevillains, which is a shame because both guys are really talented, just a really one-dimensional act. But we actually had one of the vaudevillains, Aiden English, beat Kofi Kingston. We had the Usos beat Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, he was Doc Gallows in New Japan, via disqualification. There was all kinds of brawling here, and Roman Reigns and AJ Styles is headed full steam towards Extreme Rules. It should be a great match. I don't really get why they're doing an Extreme Rules match when they already had no countouts and no disqualifications in the previous pay-per-view, but whatever. I mean, for the most part, I've liked this feud. But there's a few things I haven't liked. One, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are new to WWE. I mean, Luke Gallows in this incarnation of his character is brand new to WWE. And these guys have been beaten like drums. I'm fine with them, quote-unquote, protecting AJ Styles. But my God, these guys just debuted. You're paying these guys a lot of money. You paid these guys a ton of money to stay away from New Japan, to stay away from TNA and other promotions. And here you are, and you're beating them. And beating them. And every time they go against Roman Reigns, they just get their asses handed to them. Like, come on! How are you supposed to be a serious heel group if you're getting your ass kicked all the time? Seriously. And Luke Gallows, say we all about him as a wrestler, he's an impressive physical specimen. He's a big dude. If you saw him on the subway, you're going to go, I ain't messing with that guy. And every week, Roman Reigns, even before the Usos come out, he just takes out Gallows and Anderson. Just takes them out. And even at the payback match, it was a great match for what it was and all the overbooked, ness. Honestly, it kind of seemed like a TNA event. I mean, in some ways, it gets kind of like a Bullet Club main event, minus Bullet Club winning. But even then, it just seemed excessive. And the thing is this. The whole Bullet Club interfering thing in New Japan worked for a while because it was rare in Japan. It was rare. It was not something you saw every day in Japan. Whereas in WWE, on the same show, you get a distraction finish, a schoolboy roll up. Oh, distraction, distraction, distraction. Somebody's music's playing. Oh, I'm distracted. Roll up. It's just ridiculous. But I don't necessarily mind it for this main event program because, they're the Bullet Club and they are a commodity. And so a lot of hardcore fans are watching WWE. They are familiar with them. It's fine to that extent. But I do have a problem with Gallows and Anderson just essentially being the whipping boys. Okay, they beat the Usos once. All right, they won a match in main event and maybe another match in SmackDown, but really, they've had their asses handed to them most of this tenure. I'm glad they got the run. I'm glad they're getting paid. I'm glad they're in a main event program. But my God, I mean, these guys could be your future tag team champions. These guys are aligned with AJ Styles. And then to top it all off, my original point I was going to get to before I got sidetracked. At Payback, AJ Styles could not beat Roman Reigns with two of his friends. Now he's starting to play the heel role more. I guess it's okay now that he's kind of transitioning to that heel role. But at the time, he was a babyface. And he still could not beat Roman Reigns legitimately with three men. In a match with no rules. So yeah, in some ways this feud has been great because Roman Reigns is cool at playing off that cocky, kind of like, I'm better than you type of guy, even though he's supposed to be a babyface. AJ Styles is a great performer no matter what role he plays. These two have surprisingly great chemistry on the mic and in the ring. But the way that the match was mapped out and the way Anderson and Gallus have been booked, not a fan. Not a fan at all. And unless Gallows and Anderson are going to turn on AJ Styles at Payback, or excuse me, Extreme Rules. Jesus Christmas. I don't get why they switched the pay-per-views, by the way. Last year, Extreme Rules followed WrestleMania. Then it was Payback. Now they switched. This is really annoying, and I'm getting mixed up. So please pardon me if I'm a little confused here. But anyway, the next pay-per-view, if AJ's not going to win, they got to at least protect him. And that means having Gallows and Anderson turn on him, or better yet, how about you just have AJ Styles win? What a novel concept. Have him win. Build it up, you know, for over time. Have maybe AJ Styles wrestle Dean Ambrose at the next pay-per-view or something. Roman Reigns can, assuming they're still doing Elimination Chamber, he could do a thing where Roman Reigns regains his title shot by going into the Elimination Chamber, winning the Elimination Chamber, and then I believe the next pay-per-view after that's Money in the Bank, you could do AJ versus Roman, Money in the Bank, and then have the Money in the Bank winner kind of, you know, be a part of things or whatnot. That'd be cool. It'd be nice to see AJ win the title. It'd be nice if they're actually trying to make the club, which is what they're calling them. What a stupid-ass name. Just call them Bulletproof or something. Ugh. It'd be nice if they had the club actually get some credibility. So I'll tell you this. This is an awesome feud, even with all its flaws. But if AJ just loses again, I'm afraid he's, for the time being at least, he's not going to become just another guy. But, you know, he's going to be in that Kevin Owens level, which isn't a bad level to be at. I mean, Kevin Owens makes good money. He's selling a lot of merchandise, but the potential is there for so much more. And at 38 years old, yeah, I mean, you want to get the most out of this guy right now. So hopefully they'll do the right thing. And if not give him the title, at least protect him and keep him in the mix. But other than that, I mean, I know we kind of went on the rant there. It's been a pretty decent feud. We had the Gorgeous Truth beat Goldango, and then both teams respectively turned on each other. So it looks like it's going to be Goldust and R-Truth finally teaming together against Tyler Breeze and Fandango. All I can say is this. What a waste of two, actually, technically four talented dudes. I mean, Goldust can still go in the ring, and he's just doing bad comedy. Stardust, if you want to add a fifth person to this list I'm going to rant about, okay, Cody Rhodes, he should still be teaming with his brother, but as Cody Rhodes. Those guys were a great team. And then they became Goldust and Stardust. And then they sucked. And then they broke up. And they sucked some more. And in the case of Stardust, he's in the depths of mid-card hell. Not even mid-card hell. Jobber hell. You got Tyler Breeze, who's super talented. Who I think has won maybe two matches out of like 55 or something in 2016. That is insane. Then you have R-Truth, who showed phenomenal promise as a heel in 2011. And what have they done since then? Just make him a joke. Just make him a joke. And okay, if you want to have him be this comedy guy, whatever, okay. But at least give him some good comedy to work with. He's a legitimately entertaining guy. And you give him this awful comedy and make him booked like a freaking doofus. Just dumb. Just dumb. Why not put him in a program with, I don't know, Eric Rowan or something? Where, you know, I don't know, Eric. I mean, to me, that'd be a funnier odd couple than, you know, R-Truth and Goldust. I mean, I don't know. It just, the comedy doesn't work. They have no chemistry. Ugh. And people forget Ron Killings, R-Truth, is actually a pretty good worker himself, but he's been booked like such a geek for so long, it doesn't even matter. And yeah, I mean, I guess you could put the guy in NXT to kind of be like that player coach, but it looks like Bobby Roode or Eric Young are going to be taking that spot. And then you got Fandango, who, another guy, really talented, stuck with a bad gimmick, and even when the gimmick's gotten momentum again, they just don't get behind him. Quite a shame, but you know what? At least they're on TV, right? At least they're drawing a paycheck. At least they're in somewhat of a featured program for another, oh, I don't know, week or so. Ugh. Anyway, we had Rusev submit Sin Cara. Rusev will take on Kalisto for the United States Championship at Extreme Rules. We had Jericho and Ambrose jaw-jack and brawl. Jericho took him out. This feud must continue. This time, over not just who's better. Not just over which talk show is better. The Ambrose Asylum or the highlight reel. But no. Now, this feud has escalated to Mitch the Plant versus Y2J's $15,000 light bright jacket. Both have which been destroyed by the respective adversary. Good God almighty. This is channeling like Edge versus Booker T Japanese shampoo commercial feud, like, levels. I mean, seriously, if you're not familiar with this, get this. Back in the day, 2002, Edge and Booker T had a WrestleMania match, WrestleMania 18. They wrestled over a Japanese shampoo commercial. Why, out of all people, Edge and Booker T were the ones in the running for a Japanese shampoo commercial, let alone a shampoo commercial? And by the way, they both had really nice heads of hair, but I'm just saying, I got all the guys, like, you know, not The Rock or what have you. Yeah, that actually happened. So I guess I shouldn't be too surprised here. And then we had our main event. Kevin Owens and The Miz beat Cesaro and Sami Zayn. Good main event. Should be an awesome Fatal 4-Way, although I think it should be a triple threat, because while I do like The Miz's act with Maurice, he has no bitness being the WWE Intercontinental Champion. It's really, really sad to see how far the IC title and, to a lesser extent, the US title have just sunk into the depths of irrelevancy. It's horrible. John Cena worked his ass off to make the U.S. title mean something, and then they just proceeded to book that title until oblivion. Although Kalisto does win more often than he loses, he's just not really pushed all that hard. Whereas the IC title, you have Dean Ambrose win. Well, actually, you had Ryback win it. He was all right as champion. Originally, you had Daniel Bryan, but he unfortunately got injured. But at least Daniel Bryan, for a short time, he was champion. You know, raised the value of it. You had Ryback win. He was a decent champion. You had Kevin Owens win. He was a pretty good champion. You had Dean Ambrose win. Didn't hold it for long, but, you know, big name. Okay, raises the value of the title. Then you have Kevin Owens win again. Great. And then it goes to Zack Ryder, which was crazy. But for the night of WrestleMania 32, it actually worked. And this guy just revitalized his career. It was awesome. And then the next night, they undo all that hard work they put into making the IC title mean something, and they just gave it to The Miz. And now Miz is just a guy. A guy that's been pushed over and over again, holding the IC title, I guess keeping the belt warm for a better wrestler. But the more he holds it, the more he wins matches or loses matches, the more the value of that title goes down and down. And you can make the argument the title went down when Zack Ryder won it. But Zack Ryder got such a great reaction those two nights, WrestleMania 32, the Raw after Mania, that I figured they'll at least run with him for a month or two. Why not? But nope, it's The Miz, who, again, I like, who's worked really hard, who deserves to have success, who's got a beautiful wife. He is winning at life, but he does not need to be Intercontinental Champion. And Miz adds nothing to this feud. He adds nothing to this Fatal 4-Way. And if he wins this Fatal 4-Way, what does that do for Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens or Cesaro? Squadoosh! And also, too, Zayn and Owens are feuding for the IC title anyway. So why did you take the title off Kevin Owens? Why don't you just keep the title on Kevin Owens? Or, you know what? If you wanted to do a quick title change, just give Zack Ryder his moment in the sun and then do a quick title change, instead of having The Miz beat Zack Ryder, why not have Kevin Owens beat Zack Ryder, regain the title, and then he could do the whole deal with Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens? Because I think it would have raised the value of the IC title, and I think it would have increased the stakes of this feud. Some people say no, it wouldn't, but look, Sami Zayn never got another shot at the NXT title. Sami Zayn lost that NXT championship to Kevin Owens due to a referee stoppage, which is a legit finish, but he never was pinned. He was never submitted. He never gave up. The referee had to step in. You could have told that story and said, you know what? I lost my chance to regain the NXT title, but I'm not going to lose this opportunity to get gold around my waist. And it's going to be so satisfying, because I'm not just going to beat anybody for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm going to beat you, Kevin Owens, and prove that I'm better once and for all. Now, does that sound like a hell of a story? It does to me. But I digress. So overall, decent episode of SmackDown. I still would like to see it be increasingly more relevant. I hate the Shane McMahon and Steph storyline. Once again, the focus is on the McMahons, not on the wrestlers themselves. And until they figure out that in 2016, with the sagging ratings, that the focus needs to be on the wrestlers, well, I think we're going to continue to see this up and down pattern. And look, there's not going to be one guy that you just snap your fingers with and they're going to automatically draw for you, or increase the ratings for you, or increase them, you know, on a consistent basis to a decent level. or was considered a decent level a couple years ago. That being said, the bloom was off the rose with the Shane McMahon thing. He's very popular. He's very likable. I do like him as an authority figure, but I just do not like this whole deal with Stephanie McMahon and Shane. I'm not a fan of that because we know where it's going. Steph's going to turn on him. Triple H is probably going to come back. They're going to do Triple H versus Shane McMahon at SummerSlam. And the focal point is once again going to be the McMahons, not the superstars that are busting their asses in the ring day in and day out. And that's quite disappointing. And speaking of that real quick, we did have a segment with Darren Young and Bob Backlund. And Darren Young took some suggestions from Bob Backlund and then said, "Oh, don't worry, Bob. I got all that in my phone." And Bob was not happy. Guess old man Bob doesn't like technology, but Bob Backlund, much respect to him. The guy in real life, if you ever run into him, be very careful. He once lectured me. I was at a media event, okay? I was at an expo. My buddy Jay George, who wrestles independently now, was doing neck bridges with him. And, you know, this is a big expo. It was an MMA and wrestling expo. So everybody's filming all that stuff, so I'm filming for my site. And afterwards, he just walks up to me. And this is before he lost a bunch of weight and before he lost his tooth random. I don't know how he lost his tooth, but I guess he didn't get it replaced. So he walked up to me and he goes, "You know, you should have asked." I'm like, I'm really sorry, Mr. Backlund. You know, why didn't you ask me? Like, I'm sorry. So everybody's filming. It's a media event. You know, that you should have. Why didn't you ask me for it? I was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Backlund. He's like, "You should have asked." I'm like, "Mr. Backlund, I could delete the footage. You should have asked." I'm like, I'm very sorry, Mr. Backlund. I will delete the footage right now. I apologize. And he just pauses. He looks around. He looks at me and goes, "It's all right. I'm just, you know, it's okay. You know, just, it's okay." I'm like, "I'm really sorry, Mr. Backlund." So he's about to walk out, turns back and just goes, "But you should have asked." And that was one of the few times in my life where somebody yelled at me without actually yelling. It's a rare quality to have. Well done, Mr. Backlund. But folks, I'm going to get on out of here. I hope you enjoyed this SmackDown rapid recap. For those wondering what the hell I'm going to be doing the rest of the night, well, in just a couple hours, less than a couple hours, I'm going to be recording my Doom First Impressions video on youtube.com/TSCGaming, our video game channel. That's right, Doom drops on Xbox One, PS4, and PC tonight, and I'm actually going to be copping it for PC. I just bought a brand new gaming PC. This is the most powerful thing I've ever freaking owned, so it's kind of scary, kind of intimidating, but gonna put it to the test with my badass video card, and I'm gonna be uploading later tonight a first impressions video on youtube.com/TSCGaming. If anybody here is playing Uncharted, and I know a couple of my subscribers here are playing Uncharted 4, you can check out my first impressions video and the first half hour of gameplay on that channel as well. As for TSC news, I know it's been a while since I've been around. I'll be recapping UFC 198, Verdum versus Miocic, over the weekend, and like I said before, I will be doing retro reviews of every single Extreme Rules pay-per-view in existence. So what are you waiting for, folks? If you enjoyed this video, please like, share, take care, and if you like what you see, maybe you want to browse around, maybe you want to check out our exclusive interviews with some of the biggest stars in all pro wrestling, and maybe, just maybe, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, because I guarantee you won't regret it. Until next time, everybody, as always, enjoy the matches.